Good afternoon. This is Rob. Who's on, please?
Good afternoon. You got the whole line team here.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. So, before we get started, what's on your mind?
Well, we started, I guess, what was it, last Friday? Brian and I spent about half a day just going over, catching up and trying to figure out, you know, how can we start implementing and targets and contact schedules and all that. And then what we've come up with is, to be honest, you know, we're talking about, okay, should we do the minimum as a million? That's what we talked about. And if someone came with $850,000, I already tell them no. And honestly, we probably wouldn't. And one of the reasons why was if we just did, I think it was, you know, Brian and I did 50 and Lori did 30 or something like that, not even maxing out near what we could do. We're at like $400,000. So why would we not? You know, our thought is it would be better off just not maxing out the amount of clients we're doing Supernova with and then, work up. And then, so to be honest with ourselves, we thought if we do 750, and our goal would be to work up to a million pretty quick and learn to say no under 750. And then once we get good at that, then we can up it.
Hey, Coach, this is Brian. What's been happening is, and I know this is the first time, but we've all been weak and we've been cheating on our minimum. We've been doing it for years. And we've been doing it over the past 5 weeks since you've been coaching us. And so, and we're not just cheating on our minimum. We're cheating on whether we're going to do the paper folders. We're cheating in a lot of areas. And so really the meeting on Friday between Dennis and I was along the lines of, okay, Dennis, what are we really going to do? And let's be authentic with our coach about it and get feedback. Or else the coaching's not, you know.
Right. I can't come by and, you know, when I was managing offices,
right.
I could come by and see you, you know. But
right.
Here, I got to trust you that you're doing what you say you're doing. So it's better for you to be honest and be, and we'll deal with it than to not be honest, be frank.
Yeah, so that's really what we're trying to do is sort of come clean, if you will, about what we've really not been doing. And then, so I think what Dennis and I agreed to do was maybe something less than the supernova standard, but it's kind of like, you know, jogging a mile before I jog 5 miles, if you will. And that's mm-hmm. sort of where we are, and I think it's better than just acting like we're going to do it and not doing it. So anyway, go ahead, Dennis. So we backed up, and we had an ideal minimum of 750. And then what's our walk away?
500.
So you actually have a minimum of 500, not 750.
Well, yeah, and what we talk about is if someone comes in with, yeah, that's your younger ones, they're adding money, and they're going to get to 750, kind of to follow up on, you know, give them a couple of years. If someone comes in.
That's okay. I mean, look, you set the minimums. I don't. So, but when you say 500, that means you're not going to take 450.
Yeah.
Well, and that's good. Laura, you asked for some of my coaching just yesterday. This is the coach. Why don't you ask him? You brought up in our meeting, not to put you on the spot, but let's get some, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You said that there's this doctor in somewhere, Oklahoma, that just, you know, and it's like a second or third time they really want our help.
Right. We had a phone call from a doctor who's an eye doctor in Ada, Oklahoma. And
mm-hmm.
38 years old, he's married, so he and his wife are both employees of their practice. He and his wife combined have about $350,000 of tax-deferred assets. And they started with a simple IRA for him, and he's got 10 employees. And he's not able to max out. He's making a lot of money, but he's also paying a lot in taxes, and he's not able to shelter into a 401k. So his current advisor just keeps selling him stuff, and he doesn't want to be sold. So he found us on the internet as a fee-only fiduciary advisor, and they want us to start a 401k plan for him so he can move, have a plan, not worry about it, and then he and his wife can at least match out their plan and then give the employees something to contribute to also with higher limits. But their assets would only be about 300, and based on what the doctor is saying, they would contribute $100,000 a year about into a 401k plan.
If fee-only financial planning firm, what's your minimum fee?
Well, we really haven't set that. I guess our minimum fee is $5,000, 1% of $500,000.
Okay, so you charge them that.
But we've done that before.
Yeah.
We've done, especially on 401k plans.
Mm-hmm.
We've done that.
Yeah, why would, I mean, first of all, small 401ks are not fun.
That's a good point.
So we've got a record keeper and TPA bundled plan that they do all the heavy lifting. So I think our part, it wouldn't be a lot of.
How many 401ks do you guys have?
Seven
or nine.
Including ours.
Yeah.
And Rob, Laura really handles, almost.
Yeah, you guys. I guess the bigger question is, do you want to be in the 401k, small 401k business?
This is Brian. I personally don't want to do that work. Laura may. I don't know.
I think this one would be okay. It's like, I don't want to, like, be, like, their constant. I mean, because I think it would be low work.
You do?
Yeah. Okay.
So you think it would almost be like you turn it on.
Mm-hmm.
And
sort of like the care center. You know,
I was hoping it would be more like the other clients we have, the dues, who live in McAllister.
Mm-hmm.
And they're another, he's a dentist. They're way over our minimums, the Dr. Dew guy.
Mm-hmm.
But
they're solo 401k. I mean,
they're solo 401k. We got them on autopilot. They like what we, but they, you know, they live like 2 hours away, and they're just not coming here unless there's a problem. And we try to, you know, minimize our problems, obviously, and not make too many mistakes and all that kind of stuff. So, look, I don't know, really. If this is where the rule of common sense comes in or whatever, but I thought we'd use this as a real-life case study to really learn and,
mm-hmm.
you know, Or do we just say, no, we're not able to help you? And that's the other thing is, I don't want to get off track, but we really don't have, you know, we don't really have anywhere to send these people. I mean, other than maybe call Vanguard or something.
Right.
Your guys in Oklahoma City are going to try to steal our clients, so we're not sending them there at Merrill, you know. We just can't do that.
That's good. I would, you know, look. First of all, I think you got to be careful. Keep lowering your minimums. So, you know, if you say, well, anyway, if your minimum is $5,000, then that's what you charge.
Probably a hell of a lot cheaper than the LPL rep.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
I mean.
Well, okay. So that solves it as long as we charge our minimum fee.
Well, to me, that's right. When you guys max out in the number of clients that you have, then you can't take any more on.
That's right.
Okay? I mean, if you're maxed out, you're not maxed out now.
That's correct.
That's right.
Right. So if you're maxed out, I'd say don't take them because you can't, you got to display somebody that has more money.
Right.
You know? So, just keep that in mind. And don't ever take anybody that doesn't pay you $5,000.
That's it.
Okay.
I like it. Okay.
I like that.
Yeah, I didn't think of that.
That's why we need a coach. So you just, you know, I don't know where you put them, so you just call them back and say,
yeah.
Listen, you know, we do have minimums,
mm-hmm.
and it's typically 500, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, we'd be honored to, you know, help you guys. Our fee would be $5,000 a year. And we're here to help. I don't know what else to say.
Explain to him when the assets get, you know, that the asset, the fee will increase as the assets increase. We're on the same side of the table. You know, you explain how you're at, how it works. But your minimum fee is $5,000. You can't afford to do this for less than that.
And Laura, you might go ahead and figure out what kind of a service schedule you would be willing to, you know, what is that going to entail? I mean, I'd hate for you to be going out to Ada four times a year.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
I don't think it would happen, but...
I don't think that either.
Right.
But I think you got to do the... If you're going to charge them and they're a client, you got to give them Supernova. Okay? Right. Sorry. Because your brand depends on it. See, it isn't that you know, what the client is willing to accept. You know, it's what you guys are willing to accept in terms of your brand.
Right.
Okay, so you say, I can't afford to go out there twice a year for $5,000. Then don't take them.
Okay, that's good.
I mean, that's really important to understand that everybody gets Supernova. And the question is, you know, say, well, I've got this guy that's in California and he's only paying me $5,000. Then, you know, does that really make financial sense? You know, it costs you more airfare than you're going to make. So just think about it. Don't cost, the key is not to compromise your service experience.
Right. Okay.
All right. And you charge accordingly. You know, I have a team that hired another consultant because they didn't have time to grow. Okay? I found out later. They hired another coach after me, and they said they didn't have time to grow. And their coach said, cut your service and create different tiers of service. And, of course, I went crazy hearing that. The answer was not that. The answer was to raise your prices. They needed to raise their prices according to the time that they were putting in. They were putting in more than 12-4-2 with these clients. And therefore, they didn't have time, the appropriate amount of time. All they had to do was increase their prices, and they would have got the growth they needed.
Yeah.
Okay. So you never decrease your service experience. You adjust your prices accordingly.
Okay.
To what you see what I mean? You adjust your prices. I had one guy go from 0.75 basis points to 1.25 when he did Supernova, and people went, "Oh my God, that's crazy." No, not one client said no. And he just said, look, I'm going to be doing this extra work. It's worth it to you. It's worth it to me because we're going to have a different kind of relationship after this. And it turned out he was absolutely right. He did the right thing. The clients were delighted. And of course, he had a 50% increase in his business. So, you don't have to do that, but look at your clients and see who's not paying $5,000, okay? And decide whether that makes economic sense to keep them rather than saying, let's do three different tiers of service.
Right.
Which is just complicated and then who's going to do what and how. It just gets too complicated.
Right. Okay.
So,
Just by way of reminder, maybe you guys can help me make sure that I'm not remembering or that I am remembering correctly. We have decided that we're not releasing any clients. This is a matter of we're not, because we have capacity. So we're just not going to bring on any new clients until they meet these minimums and we're ready to move forward with these minimums.
Right.
And Coach Rob is saying that on use your common sense on this particular case, $350, they said they're going to add $100, well, the fee's $5,000,
right,
which is the same as a $500,000 client. So we're all on the same page about that?
Uh-huh.
What happens, though, and it's true, and I don't even know why I feel the need to voice this, but this, you know, it's like whoever is, you know, whoever calls Debbie. Debbie is the kindest, most professional person you would ever meet. So a client will call Debbie, and whether they have 200 or 300 or 30 million, they can get in to see us within like 4 days. And if they squeak loud enough, i.e., the Robbins kid, even if they don't meet our minimum, then they get supernova, immediate, you know, resolution. So that's, you know, that's where we got to be.
So that's why one level of service solves that, you see.
Because you're talking coming up where that doesn't happen.
Well, everybody's paying the minimum fee, so they deserve to get talked to and deserve to get free service.
Right.
You won't have people interrupting you though. You won't, because you're going to train them. You're going to train them that you're calling them every month. And if they won't accept, you know, that relationship, that's when you really do need to put your foot down. I asked the guy today what he was most proud of. It was kind of I'm going to go see them. I went to see the office 6 months ago. I'm coming back for a return visit. So I did kind of an interview with a team that's going to get up and give a testimonial. And I said, so what are you most proud of from Supernova? You know what he said? He said, the fact that I was able to fire $1 million client today.
Yeah. That's tough to do.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting, though? I mean, that's such an... He said it, Rob, it was so liberating. I felt so free, so empowered. I would never have had the courage before Supernova to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, really. I mean, I think that we are there. We
part of three.
Yeah, it was more like 3.8. But as long as we let them in and they don't become a jerk and they treat everybody with mutual trust and respect, then since we do have capacity, you know, I think we've kind of decided that the right thing to do is to keep those folks, but maybe be more discerning about the new people we let on the boat.
Right. I have no problem with that, by the way. I'm fine with it. You guys are the ones that are going to end up deciding and probably being tougher than I am in the end, because you've got to call these people.
Yeah, that's right.
That's exactly right.
And you're going to say, you know what, this guy has a $250,000 rollover. He doesn't need 1242. Why do we have him? You know? But you got to give him 1242. That keeps it honest.
Rob, do we have, I don't know what to talk about every 30 days with somebody. Is there like a topical, you know, like an agenda, topic schedule, or
it's called our 24-month calendar. One of the things to do is to send that to clients. Now, we never did that before, but I had a few FAs do it. And they said it really worked. The clients really thought that we were organized. They looked forward to the calls because it was on a different topic. You know, when you do a financial plan, you have a tendency to do the most urgent things and kind of procrastinate on some of the others. This gets you to the round to it. So if you're going to be talking about beneficiaries or something, it gives you a chance to get around to updating the beneficiaries because you're doing it for all the clients. Or long-term care or something that you just don't really, your heart isn't in, but you know the clients need to hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you do it. And what we do is the vice president or the director of implementation is in charge of that 24-month calendar and the appropriate training in the prior month. And we run those events or those educational pieces for 2 months. So you don't need to teach them long-term care for 2 months. The point is you introduce it in February, and then in March, if you have people you need to follow up on, you're not jamming yourself with a whole new topic.
Oh, that's interesting. So I think I saw that before. Do I just search on the website to find that 24-month calendar? Or?
No, we have a sample in the book. It's
in your book?
In the workbook. It's actually...
Oh, in the workbook. Okay, I'll find it. I'm almost positive.
It's chapter 6. Chapter 6.
Okay.
So we're on week 5.
Okay.
So next week we'll cover it, and we can, and you can make up your own, but I had so many people wanting it, so I just put it in there.
Okay, that sounds good. I appreciate that. Dennis, let's talk about everything else that you and I got out in the open last Friday when we spent the whole day on Supernova and get some feedback from Ron.
Another item you haven't went through was just what, I guess I call it like the natural niches and then our target. Brian and I kind of discussed that we don't have any really good natural ones. I mean, an attorney helps somewhat, but most attorneys don't save any money.
Have you found that to be true, or is that just our very limited experience?
No. I created those two because some people are CPAs when they come into business.
Right.
So that would be their natural, niche. I hired a guy from UPS.
Right.
His natural niche was UPS, right? Most people do not have a natural niche because they just come in, from some business that's unrelated.
Right.
Especially if they move cities, then they really don't have a natural niche. So then they have to pick target niches. And target niches are just doing, smart work, right? I mean, why would you not target people that you knew had the money and were the type of people that you wanted to work with?
Right.
So it just makes sense, right? It's just logical. So you pick out ones where you know that they have money, they would meet your minimums, and they're the kind of people you'd enjoy working with.
Right. Yeah, so with that, we came up with so far, and we're going to get the team together to come up with some more, but the two of us came up with 8 target niches just discussed. And then Center of Influence, we came up with 7 so far that we want to work with. That we could kind of at least a list to start with. Some of them we already are, but just doing a better job with it too.
Hey Rob, I don't know if I did read through the material for this week and watched the video and the 5-step process for the Centers of Influence.
Yeah.
That was all great.
Yeah.
Our biggest success, I had 2 careers prior to this, a CPA and then as a lawyer, so those are 2 national niches for me. Or so one would think. I tried forever, I have some buddies that are, lawyers that are clients and stuff like that, but for the most part, as far as those centers of influence starting to send clients to us, this is a real common sense thing, but it was, it really became so painfully obvious that it wasn't until... And I'm really talking more about CPAs here, maybe 1 or 2 trust and estate lawyers. But it wasn't until the CPA, who I'd been kind of nurturing for 15 years, he might throw me a client here or there, but when they themselves became a client, then they just, because I guess what happens is their clients say, who is my financial advisor, anyone to recommend, and... Then instead of them saying, well, I would recommend these 3, they say, well, here's who I use. And it's done. I mean, and I don't know how to be more, and that's happening, and I'm grateful for that, but, how do we, I guess my whole theme of wanting your coaching is how do we, rather than accidentally that stuff happening, which it seems like it's almost happened accidentally, over the past 25 years. I mean, I don't have another 25 years to work. How can we be more on purpose and speed that process up? It took me 15 years to get my first CPA to actually become a client, and I just don't have that many more 15-year blocks of time.
You can do it.
No, so here's what I tell people. You know, the major firms require that you introduce three different CPAs, and that's to protect them from compliance issues, right?
The major accounting firms, you mean?
No, Merrill Lynch would tell you.
Oh, I'm sorry. So Merrill, the major firms require the Merrills of the world to recommend, here's three options for CPA.
Correct.
Okay, I'm sorry. Right. Okay.
No, it's okay. So what we recommend is people say, well, how do I do that? And how do I say, well, think of it as a baseball team. All right, so you got your team, your lead CPA who refers business to you, does business with you, you like, they like, everything's great, you meet with them monthly, and you're good friends. Okay, that's the guy that's up at bat. The guy that you're developing, you're going to meet with him quarterly, and you're nurturing him. He's probably a client, but not necessarily yet. And then there's the guy that's in the dugout, and you're going to meet with him twice a year, and or her, and you're developing them, those two. So when you refer to those three. And people say, well, which one should I use? And you simply say, well, you can answer them two ways. One is this one seems to get the most enthusiastic endorsements. Or you can simply say, I'm required to give you three introductions. I'd like you to meet with all three and let you be the judge. I like all three. I'm comfortable with all three. They each have their own specialty, and this one may be more suitable for you than others, but they're all enthusiastically endorsed by the community. So you can either lean it in one direction or you can. Now, I found personally that when I introduce teams, somebody comes to me and says, you know, you've been in the business for 45 years. Who should I use? Right? And I go, oh, and these people I know and I'm friends with them and all that. I always introduce them to three teams. And the reason is I didn't do that a couple of times. So I would introduce them to one team and then they ended up going to Northern Trust. Okay? And that really made me mad. So when I introduce anybody, I like to give them three options. And I make them interview them. And then I check back to make sure it went well. So I take it very seriously. When somebody wants my help, I go interview them, find out what they need. Then I introduce three different teams to them. Then I come back after they've interviewed all three teams, and I go back and I interview them and say, which one did you select and why?
Okay.
And that proved to be a very beneficial model for everybody. Meaning it's really, because I'm usually coaching the teams, right? So I can help them with their, you know, what did you do right, what did you do wrong in that presentation. I can help the person. Like the last guy I did that to, he said to me, you know, Rob, I like the team, I like them very much, but, you know, I can do this stuff myself. And I said, yeah, Jeff, but Ken Nedra, his wife. And he looked at me and went, no, not a chance. I said, so something happens to you, what's going to happen here? What's going on? She's going to be able to call Fidelity and do all that? No, she'd never do that. I said, so isn't it worth it for, you know, 0.75% or 1% to have that part of your life taken care of and get some good advice? He goes, yeah, you're right. Okay. So, you know, it's so interesting, right, to watch these people with a lot of money just nickel and dime themselves.
Right. Yeah. We see that.
Yeah. So that's a great closing line, by the way.
I was looking over what else. That's the main things we covered, just trying to, you know, and then, you know, the folder still, did you say you're going to, that link still doesn't work? Did you say you can send us some samples of the folders?
Cindy will send you a sample. There, you know, we have the pages in the workbook. But she'd be happy to send you one.
Got to be great. That way we could see kind of what you're using. We've got some, but I want to make sure it's like the kind you guys prefer.
And the key contents of that, just so we get something, you know, that we can implement, are going to be the client, the key client information, the client profile, which we call our mind map.
What do you call it, the client map?
At the mind map, we use a mind map software. We create one when we.
I love the mind map.
Yeah, so that would, you know, we would have that, and just sort of keep it updated all the time. Right. One of the things Debbie Dennis and I talked about is have the updated mind map right there at the beginning.
Yep.
And then, I guess a call agenda, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like to put the agenda next to a yellow, you know, I just tear off some yellow pad or put a yellow pad on the back and just a few pages, you know, 3 or 4 pages on the back, 2 hole punches, put that in the very back, and then next to it I put the agenda. So the beginning is information about our team, phone numbers, you know, where we live, all the easy stuff, right? And then information about them, and then at the back, the agenda and the notes, a place for the notes. And that's for them and for you. That's for them and for you. Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I do for you guys. I mean, I've got your folder right here, you know, and I'm taking notes and, you know, got your information off the web, and I have that on the left side, and just, you know. But it works. You know, you'll try different things and see what you like best. And,
right.
But it's good to have it consistent for everybody on the team. Right. You want to make a dramatic change between what you've been doing in the past and what you're doing now. Not because what you were doing in the past is bad, but because this is good.
Right.
And if you don't make it a big enough change for the client, they won't respond, and it's going to be harder to educate them and change them in terms of their behavior.
That's what stuck out to Brian ever going over is, you know, how do we make it simple, you know, to where we get it done and it's routine. That's what that word is.
Right.
It's a ritual. Mm-hmm.
It's just a ritual doing it.
Right. Creating the rituals, right. Then the pain goes away. When it's a ritual and it's part of something you do every day, like brushing your teeth, it's not painful. I was very impressed with my four-year-old granddaughter. She'll brush her teeth now and do a pretty good job. But getting her started, you know, that was a pretty tough thing.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you a little bit about that. We have a few very large clients in our, yep. I'm talking one is 35, 40 million and another one is 10 million. They will not do a financial plan. They don't want one. They've done one before. They don't want it. They love us. They don't want it. They love us handling their money and doing their portfolio and reporting to them on results. They don't want a financial plan. So what do we do? You know, you can't make them.
No, you do it without them knowing it.
Yeah, that's what we kind of do. That's funny. So what do you do with that, Rob? That's funny.
No, you do it without them knowing it, and then you give them ideas on what they, you know, like, you know, this is, you know, at this stage of your life, guys, you know, Mr. Client, this is a good time to bring up the idea of a family foundation. Have you thought about it?
That's an awesome way to do it. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you just bring us the, you know, Laura, you can run the financial plan, and then I can just have key notes of here's what happens in the year 2023 if you keep doing what you're doing, but here's a different way to go.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's awesome. That's a real epiphany there.
No.
Huh? Yeah, that's what we've been doing.
Yeah, it is.
For one of the guys.
Yep.
Your roommate over there. We just need to keep doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Rob.
Oh, you're welcome. No, that's what I... I do that kind of without thinking about it. You know, I do that for people in terms of just, you know, teach them the model without jamming it down their throat, you know. Sometimes it's better to let them come around to you rather than you having to jam something down their throat. I mean, you guys are a pretty good example of that. I mean, when we started, you were pretty strong in your opinions on things. And you know, and I just kind of went with it and didn't bully you and, you know, listened and let you vent and let you decide, you know, and now we're smoothing along now. We're starting to get some rhythm. And you know, and I think you've got to believe that I have something to say of value, too, you know.
That's correct. That's exactly right.
Yeah. So that, you know, so I need a little time with you to prove that. And that's what you're getting with these. You'll be so impressed with these 12-4-2s, you'll just love it because that's what you get. You get time to create value in the eyes of the client. And they don't know what you know, and they don't know much. And they think they kind of do, but they're afraid. And so over time, the 12-4-2, they'll open up like a little flower, you know, and that gives you a chance then to, because they begin to trust you more and more and more and more. And then they'll take you seriously when you present something, and which they do now, but they'll just take you more seriously.
Right.
So it really works. You'll love it, especially with clients with $35 million and $10 million and stuff. But they're the ones that need you the most.
Right.
What else? What other questions?
That's where we've gotten so far.
Oh, you're doing great. I think you're doing great. We want to catch up on some of the, you know, by week 5, we want to be talking to clients about Supernova, starting to hand out folders to the clients, and beginning to sign them up. Okay? So,
What do you mean, sign them up?
Sign them up for their slot and time. Right. You create your ideal day, right? And
it's like
a surgeon. So you're going to have time, you know, you have your ideal time for talking to clients, ideal time for prospecting, ideal time for working out, etc. So you just put that into your schedule and you start to fill up your schedule.
Okay.
And you don't want to do it all at once because, you know, then your team becomes overwhelmed. Darlene says, whoa, what are you doing? You know. So you want to, just like buying a security, you want to, you know, ease into it, buy some more. Then you have your full position. That's what we want to do here.
Okay.
But you don't want to get too far behind here, so you want to get hustling on that. That's your next step here.
Okay.
So you got to get your pitch down. How do you feel about that? Do you feel comfortable with your presenting Supernova and why you're doing it?
Yeah, I mean, we really don't have a pitch done yet, but I mean, we talked about what we're gonna, just how we're gonna talk
about. Well, actually, take a minute and write it out, and then do what you just did. You and Dennis and Brian sit down and talk and pitch each other. And you know, actually try it out. Because you need to do that to get the words right.
Okay.
Otherwise you'll be fumbling with words, and what happens is you take too long to get your message out.
Right.
So the more you practice, the shorter the version.
Well, I'm not comfortable with the pitch at all yet. And Dennis, it seems to me like we talked about doing something different than 12-4-2. And I want to talk about that. I mean, what are we committed to doing or not doing or what?
Here's what I would tell you guys. I would suggest that you commit to 12-4-2, but don't commit it to doing a lot yet.
A lot.
Because it sounds to me you're concerned about time. Is that the issue?
Good. Make sure we can implement it and everything, too.
I don't know if we're as concerned about time as, I mean, I'll speak for myself, and I imagine other people at the table feel the same way. We have, you know, stated that we're going to do something, and the most recent thing that we did last year, we tried to implement the Bill Good marketing system, and we didn't do it. We failed, and it was too, you know, there's a million reasons why, and they have nothing to do with Supernova, except that this is yet another program that Brian sought out, and I don't want you guys to feel like I'm shoving it down your throat, but at the same time, I don't want to start off and say we're going to do something and then not do it. So I think that there, at least for me, I'll talk for me, I'm afraid that I'll say I'll do this 12-4-2, but then I won't. Now, if Debbie schedules the calls, I'm not going to fail to get on a call with a client. I will be
right
on that call, you know. If you don't schedule
the difference.
Call, it's not likely to do it. You know this to be true. And I think that there's, like, what the hell are we going to talk to these people about every 30 days? We're going to really henpeck them and bug them to death. And, I, you know, maybe it's just, hey, you know.
Well, let me just make a couple of comments. One is if Debbie schedules it, you'll make the call. Okay? That's the system. That's why we set it up that way.
Right.
The Bill Good system was designed, if I'm not mistaken, for acquiring new relationships, right?
Yeah. Both.
We don't really know what it was about.
It's trying to be difficult.
It was so complicated, difficult.
Right. So this is not about that. This is about your existing clients who you love. This is about giving them the ultimate client experience, making a great experience. You only have to remember one thing, and that is 12-4-2. You don't have to remember, you know, 12-4-2 plus 631 plus 217 and plus, okay? There's not A clients, B clients, C clients, D clients, E clients. There's one level of clients, A clients. They all get 12-4-2, right? Yeah, just... You show up at work, it's 9:00, a folder's on your desk, you got an appointment, you pick up the phone, you call the client, you've got an agenda, you go through the agenda, you hang up, you send them an executive summary, and you're done. All right? You do 4 or 5 of those a day, 4 of them a day, and your day is done. You just mowed the lawn. Now you can do acquisition, okay? And we encourage you to. But to do Supernova is not that hard, okay? It is simple but not easy to implement, but once it's implemented, you got something that nobody in your market has. And you can go out and you can market it. Your clients, who are the most important people in your world, will love this. So who are you to say that the clients don't deserve this? Really?
Or don't want it. I mean, or do they not
don't want it? Who are you to say they don't want it? I mean, I've done thousands of financial advisors and millions of clients, and there's a handful of people that say they didn't want it, okay? People want this.
Well, this is so a little raw with me because I had a conversation with our largest client to try to schedule a quarterly call with them, and she was adamant they did not want quarterly calls. They want one every. They want a meeting every 6 months. That's how we told them from the beginning we were going to handle it.
This is Lisa Thompson.
This is Lisa Thompson. Did not want.
Yeah. So you don't do it for them. Yeah.
Yeah. So what do we do?
You do meeting every 6 months.
Yeah.
But them.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're like I said, you're going to have a handful of people that don't want it. You know what? It's fine. Okay? It's fine. You're going to see you're the ones that are going to be convinced that it's an amazing service for her. And eventually you'll convince her to do it.
Yeah.
But you don't need to convince her today. But you have
you in that position, Debbie. If you've read this stuff, you're kind of the boss of the calendar, just like Tom McGarry's scheduler, my dentist, Rob. I didn't even see Tom McGarry today. I mean, she said, you know, you're coming in, you sit right in this chair, sit your ass down, do this, go pay, see you later, you know. So it puts you in a bad situation where our largest client, if Lisa says she doesn't want that, don't give that to her. We can't control the outcome. But what I'd like to do is us come up with a system with Rob's help of, I mean, we know like what we do in portfolio management. We recommend that to people.
Mm-hmm.
Do some of them say no? Of course they do.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think we ought to change it for everyone? No, you just, good luck. I hope that works out for you. This is what we do.
Right.
And I don't know. Okay. I think we just need to, you know, we all need to get buy-in here, Rob, about what it is that we're going to commit to.
Right.
And the coach is saying, listen, he's done it with thousands of advisors and millions of clients, and 12-4-2 works. It sounds a little to me.
Here's the given reality. You're going to schedule 12 appointments, all right? And you think, wow, that's going to be a lot. Well, it's not. And second, they will not always be there, nor will you.
Right. Like this week, we were stacked up with appointments. Where are they?
Staying home and avoiding the ice storm that's going on.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's always something, though, Laura.
Yeah.
And that's what will happen.
Right. And so you don't worry. It's going to work out. They're probably going to, you know, 12 appointments, you're probably going to end up with 8 solid appointments. All right? And, you know, look at us. We're like, what are we going to talk about? Well, we can fill up an hour easy. And we're supposed to be a half an hour. All right? So you're going to find in the first few calls, they're going to take a whole 50 minutes from you guys. You're going to say, what? Because they want to talk to you.
Right.
After a while, it'll be 20 minutes. You know,
right.
then it'll be 10 minutes. You know, when you've got a full-on review, it'll take 40 minutes. But you're not going to take, you know, 2 hours in these meetings because the clients are talking to you on a regular basis.
Yeah, it just turns into a continual conversation rather than, I don't remember what we did. Yeah, I think that's all good. I think, you know, let's all consider, let's give this a shot, and who are we to say it wouldn't work?
Yeah, I'd rather see you guys say, we're each going to take 10 clients and do Supernova with them and get comfortable with it, and then we'll move on, all right? Uh-huh. Rather than saying, let's do 4-1 or bastardize it somehow. You're not going to get the impact that you want to get by changing 12-4-2. Okay?
Okay.
I'd rather have you do fewer clients and do the right ones, get the systems in place, get comfortable with it. You're the ones that are going to sell yourself on doing the whole book. Trust me. Once you get into it, you'll be like, God, this is great. Okay. We're doing more of it. We're doing the whole book. We're getting rid of the small account. You'll be surprised how your mind will change as you do this.
All right.
Okay. There is a little bit of, you know, trust me on this, but I want you to be comfortable doing what you're comfortable doing, but I don't want to see you change the 12-4-2 thing. That would just not be Supernova. It would be something else. It would be what everybody else does. You know, everybody out there does quarterly.
Yeah, that's right.
And they miss the boat. They miss it. They miss the boat. Okay, so good. All right, well, good, guys. I appreciate you having that heart-to-heart with each other. Just have one more heart-to-heart here and talk this through, and then And then we'll be off to the races next week. Okay?
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks, Coach.
All right. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.